Where do you see your career in 10 years? What are you doing now to help you get there? The sooner you start enhancing your skills, the sooner you'll be ready. That's why AARP has reskilling courses in a variety of categories like marketing and management to help your income live as long as you do.
That's right. AARP has a bevy of free skill building courses for you to choose from because the steps that you choose to take today will help you to love what you do in the future. And that's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
I'm Matt.
And today we're talking how you can butcher your grocery bill.
And this episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. Just kidding. That would be way too on the nose. I don't even know what ButcherBox is. I want to say ButcherBlocks for some reason.
I don't know. I think it's an expensive way to get meat delivered to your
door. Yeah, it's like a meat delivery service, right?
Yeah, that would actually probably be the opposite thing you want to do if you want to save money on
it's
your
It's like Stitch
groceries.
Fix where they just automatically send you clothes and you're tempted into keeping it.
And I get it. For some people, it's a worthwhile splurge, but for most folks, that's not how you're going to save the most money doing it, right?
That's right.
And but we want people to take a cleaver to their monthly grocery budget. And especially now, people just feel the pain of groceries more. So we're going to talk about, give a bunch of suggestions about how to like relieve that pain today.
Which cleavers, like Chinese cleavers, are totally in, by the way.
Oh,
have you seen Kate's over at her house?
Oh, yeah. It looks fancy. I wouldn't know how to use it, though.
I mean, you just use it like a regular chef's knife. Okay. But it's just another tool to add to the toolkit, right? It's another tool in the arsenal when it comes to cooking. But this is going to be a great topic because I'll readily admit there are some topics that I know we talk about that we discuss that may not appeal to everyone out there. There are certain things that we discuss that aren't applicable to everybody. That is not the case today.
Yeah. Sometimes we'll talk about real estate investing and some people will be like, dude, snooze fest, I don't care. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. But everybody
eats. Not going to be. Well, and we want to encourage folks to listen to those episodes because I still think that there are some little nuggets of information that you are going to be able to glean from those episodes. But this one is going to be a topic that is most definitely applicable to everyone out there.
For sure. All right. Something else that's applicable to a lot of people, that a site that I've heard about, Matt, but I just gave it a test this week because I wanted to know, okay, is this actually a good way to go about saving money on getting something shipped across the country? So there's an Instagram account I follow. They sell mid-century furniture. And
did you buy a fancy piece of furniture?
No, I didn't yet. I'm thinking about it, but I was like, they're in North Carolina. And I was like, I'm not going to go pick this thing up.
What is it?
It's just like a bar cart, basically.
Ooh.
We have a space that like has been sitting empty since we moved in July.
I know and exactly I've been, where you're talking about.
Been looking for some sort of bar cart, essentially, to fill that space or like a display cabinet. But and I'm looking for something that fits in with the rest of our furniture. And this seller on Instagram that I've been following for years posted one. And I was like, that's really reasonably priced and it looks good. But I was like, how can I get someone to bring it to me?
Like, I'm not going to drive up there. Wait,
for not too much money.
Where in North Carolina? Maybe we can.
It's in Asheville.
Oh,
which we should,
dude. Okay.
That'd be a good
road
trip.
Why would you not want to take a trip up that to Asheville? I guess it's actually getting it. Could you fit it in your van?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I can totally fit it in too.
Oh, snap.
So maybe I should do that. Maybe that's...
Maybe we'll take a road trip.
The best way around it. But I was like, okay, what would it cost to have someone bring it here? And they mentioned, hey, we've got this white glove service. Reach out to them. The cost was pretty expensive. It was more than the cost of the item I was looking to buy. Ooh. I was like, ouch, no way.
Not interested.
Not a deal now. But I looked up, there's a website called Shipley. And Shipley is basically putting it out for bids to all the people who are interested in moving that piece of furniture. First couple bids were like $700, $600, $500. And I was like, that's still really, 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 really expensive. And by the end of the bid, because everyone's competing against each other, the bids were in the low twos, low $200
no way.
To move this thing. And so I'm like, okay, cool. I still haven't pounced. I haven't decided to buy this thing or to have it... to, you know, hire someone to ship it, to bring it to me. But I was like, now it's reasonable. So that's kind of cool.
Nice.
And they have like reviews and stuff. And
I love it, dude. How do you spell it?
S-H-I-P-L-Y.
Shipley.
Yeah. So we'll link to it in the show notes.
Yeah, let's do that.
It's, again, not something I've actually used yet except for an attempt to get these bids. But if you're looking to get something moved across country or at least just even just a couple states over you don't have the time to go to Asheville or whatever, even though you want to desperately because the beer scene is so good. I think Shipley's kind of a cool site we're checking out.
Very cool. Yeah, anytime there is a platform, a website that facilitates a free and open competitive marketplace like that, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
But let's introduce the beer you and I are going to enjoy during this episode. This is a barrel-aged sour brown ale that is, I believe, is called Darken. That's, you know, it's written in the biggest letters, I guess, on the label. But this is by Upland Sour Ales. I assume they only make sour beers, but I'm looking forward to enjoying. I don't think we've ever had a beer by these guys before. So definitely looking forward to this one. And stick around to the end of the episode because that's when we will share our thoughts on it.
For sure. But for now, let's get on to the topic at hand. We're talking about how to butcher your grocery bill. And Matt, everybody eats food. That is what you need to sustain life. You got to have water, got to have food, got to have air. And so air makes me think of the fact that we all have to breathe, right? Well, I didn't really realize this until just, I don't know, 6 months ago until I read a new book, but I didn't realize that we could all breathe better. It had just not really crossed my mind. And then I read this book called Breath, which is aptly titled, makes sense, by James Nestor, who's a journalist. He like looked into the science of breathing and he gave a bunch of tips. And it was just this thoroughly fascinating excursion of something that I thought was basically mundane and boring, and that there just wasn't much to discuss. But a couple of his main tips from that book were to breathe through your nose, not your mouth.
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
Apparently, like the conditions of your nose just make it so much better. Like you get 20% more oxygen because of the conditioning that your nose is doing versus just breathing it straight in through your mouth, right?
I'm breathing through my nose right now.
See, you look healthier already.
Oh, the color of my cheeks.
They're rosy. Yes. So it's just kind of fascinating,
though.
It
makes sense, right? Yeah, I guess it goes through your sinuses.
That's
and
right.
I'm assuming it adds moisture to the air.
That's right.
Warms it up a little bit.
Yeah. So there's a bunch. There's like a bunch of different like sciencey reasons that breathing through your nose is better than breathing through your mouth. And just like one other quick tip from the book, if you're like, I'm not going to read it, give me the cliff notes. Well, fewer, deeper breaths is another way to breathe effectively. It's just because like it regulates your body. Because like try breathing short, shallow breaths,
like you're having a panic attack.
Yeah, you're going to feel bad really quickly. But if you take those, I think he said 5.5 second in, 5.5 second out is kind of the ideal duration of a breath.
I love it.
Yeah. So all sorts of interesting things to something that you're like, I didn't know there was much to learn on that front.
Dude, this is like the Huberman Lab kind of stuff that I'm into. Like, you tell me all these things and I will start doing them.
Okay. Well, you're going to like this book then.
For the rest of my life.
Have you read it?
You'd
be into it.
I think we've talked about it before, which is why I think I know some of these things, or maybe I read a summary on it. But I don't think I've actually picked up the actual book.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, maybe get the audiobook. It's not too bad. But after like just a few tweaks, yeah, you might be breathing better, living better. But the same thing is true with groceries. So we've got kind of a basic subject today, but something that I think seems simple on the surface maybe, but there are a lot of ways to improve your grocery store habits to save more money.
Yeah. Just like everyone out there, they've got to breathe air. We all have to eat food. And literally, like I was saying earlier, like everyone out there has to buy groceries. This isn't one of those expenses where you're thinking, oh, you know, this isn't an expense that applies to me. No way. We've all got to eat. And we've all probably seen from personal experience that groceries are the third largest line item in the average person's budget, which means this is a smart place to start working on being more efficient with your dollars. And also, inflation. Inflation has also taken a toll on food prices. Now, the Labor Department said that grocery prices went up by almost 12% back in December compared to a year prior. and obviously, you know, inflation, it is starting to come down. We've seen some encouraging headlines, some encouraging news from the Fed. That being said, it's not happening overnight. And groceries seem to be one of the stickiest sectors where inflation is hanging around even longer. So that's just another reason for us to discuss savings techniques on the show today when it comes to food and how you can save money.
Yeah, I saw an article about Whole Foods. They're asking their suppliers to trim costs in order to drive their costs down so they can kind of pass some of those on to the consumer. And it makes sense, especially for one of the more expensive grocery stores like Whole Foods. They're feeling the pinch in a bigger way as people are trying to trim their grocery bill.
Like, go figure. Why isn't everybody doing that?
Right. Well, and Whole Foods is
asking for that nice guy discount.
That's one of the things that people kind of instinctively do is they trade down in an environment where costs are rising rapidly. And so Whole Foods, I'm sure, is seeing people walk out the door, go down the street to another less expensive grocery store. And so they're saying, hey, guys, can you lower these prices for us? Because we got to make sure our customers stick around, right? Keep coming in the store.
Yeah, their customers are going to Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's customers are going to Walmart.
That's
Walmart
right.
customers are... I don't know where they're
going. Aldi.
Maybe so.
Yeah. Or planting a garden in their backyard. Mm-hmm. But enough about the negative. I think that, you know, the truth is that there's a joy that we often associate with food, right?
Ooh.
I can still vividly remember, Matt, meals that I've had on a trip or even just like cooking something together with my kids at home, like the communal aspect of food that we can enjoy together. There's a clear reason that we're all not just drinking Soylent three times a day. Like our three square meals are just, you know, in some sort of prepackaged bottle.
Through a straw.
Right. I mean, because what we eat, it goes beyond just nutrition in an attempt to stay alive. Like three Soylents a day might get me by, but I'm going to hate my life by the end of a week. And making strides with your grocery shopping and your cooking, I think it could lead to years or even a lifetime of happiness that you're able to experience where your meals are enjoyable and what you're paying for groceries is leading to like delicious things that you get to enjoy with people that you love.
So much of life revolves around the table, right? And like when you think about how often it is that we do eat, this is something to pay attention to.
Yeah.
And also this makes me think of a recent movie that was out, The Menu, which I would not recommend. I don't. It wasn't that great.
I didn't like it either.
Yeah,
that much. I thought I would, but I didn't.
It was weird. I mean, and obviously, like, not the whole premise of the show, but just the way that they did it. I don't know. I don't want to sit here and bash.
My one line review was that the social commentary felt just super basic. And if it had been more interesting,
fell flat.
I could have been down with the whole premise.
It didn't.
But
yeah, there wasn't enough depth.
Yep.
Anyway, so one maybe shining point within the movie, maybe my favorite part, one of the main characters. He's like a foodie and he's just talking, he's kind of like waxing poetic about food or specifically too about chefs. And he's talking about how so many people worship or pay a lot of attention to athletes. And he's like, and they're just down there playing with a rubber ball. It's really dumb. Whereas chefs, they're working with the actual elements of life. And he's just talking about why he's so into food. And that part of that actually, it kind of resonated with me, not to the extent that it does with him, like where you are looking to, you know, drop like a, you know, $12,000 on a single meal, that kind of thing. But when you recognize truly how central food is to our lives, there are some steps I think that we can take in order to make it more pleasurable, in order, like you said, to garner some more joy from it. And one of the ways that hopefully you can begin to see meals as something, you know, that brings you joy, as opposed to just seeing it as a chore, is by learning how to cook better. Nobody likes doing something that they're not good at, but you're also going to be able to save money by increasing your kitchen skills. And so if we're talking about your holistic food budget, you're less likely to go out to eat and you're more likely going to opt for eating in, which is going to be far less expensive. And so we would recommend for folks to find ways to increase some of those different skills that they might have early on. Kate and I, we took some cooking classes actually here in Atlanta, some affordable cooking classes, which was a ton of fun. We actually did it for like a couple dates. But also, we were able to formally learn some of the techniques that you would regularly put to use in a kitchen. But even before that, so that was after maybe we've been married for like a few years or something like that. Well, right after we got married, we hadn't launched our business yet, and she didn't have a job. So she was just hanging out at home. And this is when she watched a lot of the Food Network. And no joke, she literally credits watching folks cook on TV with her ability to just sort of where she is now.
I mean she's
over the years, she's gotten way better.
Now she's a modern day Guy Fieri. Everybody says that.
Back then, I think it was Rachel Ray.
And her hair looks just like his.
Oh my gosh. She's got the shades as well. I love it. But no joke. I mean, it's one thing to like look up a recipe online, but like how is it that you actually execute that recipe? And that's when I think, whether it be affordable cooking classes or but just literally watching something on TV and seeing how they cut, seeing how they blanch vegetables, just all the different techniques that you might be able to read about. But when you can see somebody doing it, I think that can oftentimes help. And now she just, honestly, she follows a lot of folks on social media as well.
I mean, just like anything in life, just learning a couple of techniques can help you enjoy the thing more. Like I play disc golf, not as much as I'd like to, probably 3 or 4 times a year. I wish I went once a month, but it's one of those things where you just learn a couple basic mechanics of throwing the disc. And if you try to throw it like a Frisbee, you're just annoyed.
Right,
you're just angry because you're like, I have to, it takes me 20 throws to get it to the pin. But if you do
there's just a certain way that you need to do it,
learn a couple of specific techniques, you're like, okay, cool. It took me 4 or 5 throws to get it to the pin instead of 20. And that just makes it way more enjoyable.
Exactly. But then regarding what to actually make, of course, you're going to want to make some inexpensive meals. And so we suggest following some of the folks that we've had on the show. I'm specifically thinking of Beth Monsell from Budget Bites, as well as Leanne Brown. She wrote the Good and Cheap Cookbook. They both prioritize cooking healthy, tasty food without breaking the bank, and we'll make sure to link to those interviews where we had those ladies on.
For sure, yeah. And I'll readily admit, I'm no kitchen expert. Like, there's room for growth for me, right? But I've grown, I would say, in my ability to cook for our family, and it's like learning those disc golf techniques. It's rewarding to kind of make progress in that area. But I think one thing that might help if you feel like a complete kitchen novice is to check out meal delivery kits. And they're not the best option for saving money on groceries. And whether or not you should try one of these services really depends on how much you're currently spending on, you know, when it comes to food and how good in the kitchen you actually are. But services like Blue Apron, they might be a smart decision, particularly for the novice home chef. And it can be like a happy medium for a lot of people. It has been for us at different seasons in our life, depending on how busy we are. And Emily like really likes using these services. We don't use them regularly, but when we get a discount or something, we'll go back to them and test them out again. And I think largely a good reason to test these out is because it could be kind of like a gateway drug leading you back towards home cooking and eating out less. Signing up for these kits in perpetuity is probably going to be a budget buster, getting 3 or 4 of these every single week, but using them to get you back in the kitchen at least.
Totally.
And then weaning yourself back to meal planning and grocery store shopping in a smart way, that could be a good plan for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So this reminds me of a listener who wrote in, and he was talking about how him and his wife, they're empty nesters, but he was pointing out how this was something that they did that was fun.
Yeah.
And it allowed them to do something together, but it also introduced them to just some different foods, like different meals that they otherwise would never have thought to pursue. Look up how to make this thing.
And it's not
it's delivered directly to them. It tells them, you know, they've got all the pre-measured ingredients. They've got all the instructions.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they're eating something that they would never have otherwise eaten.
It's not just a friend passing on a recipe. It's literally all the pre-measured stuff that goes with it. And so it makes it kind of like, a fun thing to attempt.
Yeah.
But again, it can be expensive if that's your go-to every single week, but I think it can be kind of like a paint by numbers for a lot of people who are like, I kind of want to get into painting. That's a good place maybe to start.
Well, and I love again what you said about it being fun, because we do things that are fun to us. If something is fun, it doesn't matter if it necessarily is going to save you money. You will continue to do that thing. And so by tricking yourself back into the kitchen where you're cooking more, you're intentionally cultivating the joy of cooking, right?
And, all right, Julia Childs.
And not to mention, like you said, over time, you wean yourself off of that, and all of a sudden, you have built up this joy for cooking food.
Yeah.
And all the while, you're likely going to be able to save money in
now,
the long run.
You just like being in the kitchen. And I think that matters a lot if it's something that you're going to continue to do, right?
It's the psychology of cooking and tricking yourself into some of the different ways.
Which, how many personal finance nerds talk about the psychology of the kitchen?
You and I, we are doing it more and more because I think we've realized how important it is not to just know the steps to take, but how important it is to approach something with a certain mental state and based on how it is that we actually live our lives.
Yeah, exactly. You could talk about theoretically the best things to do, but if that's not what people want to do, we need to give
practice.
Practical advice is necessary, and I think this is one of those things where it's like a lot of personal finance experts would be like, those meal kits are way more expensive than shopping in the grocery store, and it's true. Like, that is True, but what's going to get you back in the kitchen over the long term? Just like what's going to get you working out over the long term? Is it the most efficient, best 3-hour workout? No. And so you got to find the thing that's going to let you show up and continue to do the thing day after day.
Exactly.
After day.
It's not just about winning this one battle. We're here to like win the overall war. And
yes.
So like we're not just focused on what it is that you're going to spend on groceries the last week in February. We're talking about how much you're going to spend on groceries over the course of the year.
Yes.
And I guess so far we've essentially made a case for why it is that you should be paying more attention to your groceries. But we're going to get to some practical tips on how it is that you can butcher your grocery bill. And we'll get to some of those right after this.
Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Cachava really earns their 52,000 plus 5-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in 5 delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to Cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's Cachava.com/howtomoney.
You probably think it's too soon to join AARP, right? Well, let's take a minute to talk about it. Where do you see yourself in 15 years? More specifically, your career, your health, your social life? What are you doing now to help you to get there? Well, there are tons of ways for you to start preparing today for your future with AARP.
What about that dream job you've dreamt about? Sign up for AARP reskilling courses to help make it a reality. How about that active lifestyle you've only spoken about from the couch? AARP has health tips and wellness tools to keep you moving for years to come. But none of these experiences are without making friends along the way. Connect with your community through AARP volunteer events.
So, it's safe to say, it's never too soon to join AARP. They're here to help your money, your health, and happiness live as long as you do. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/wisefriend.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer. We've already got that trip to St. Simons on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. All right, Matt, let's keep going. Let's talk about butchering your grocery bill. It makes me think of Sam the Butcher from the Brady Bunch.
I thought you were going to say Butcher Bill from...
That'd be a good one, too. Gangs in New York?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
That was a good one.
Some good butchers in classic American film and TV history. But, we were just talking about recipes before the break and how it might make sense to order a meal kit to help you out. But one of the advantages of going with a recipe is that you can plan and buy your groceries in a very precise way. You're also not following a recipe for every single meal that you're making at home, typically, right? There's some that you're just going from memory. A lot of things I cook are the same 7 or 8 things I cook every time. I don't have this wide a range, and I'm not always testing out new things, although, that's something I hope to do more over time. But there's a lot of things that you're doing on the fly. And the same thing is true when it comes to setting up a realistic budget, which is an important part of butchering that grocery bill and lowering your grocery costs. There's a learning curve, and you're likely to get better over time. And so when it comes to budgeting, we don't necessarily want you to spend what you spent last month. Depends on how thoughtful you were about grocery purchases last month, I guess. But it's crucial to know how much money you spent on groceries in February so that it can at least inform your March budget. And you can take a realistic approach, right? You can put a line item in your budget for groceries that is absurd, that you'll never hit. You can say, I'm a family of six, we're going to spend $220 on groceries. And that is just setting yourself up for failure, right? Well, what use is that really of coming up with a number that you're never going to be able to actually meet?
Unless you just really like the feeling of defeat.
Right, yes. So we would suggest using previous numbers to help you come up with an attainable dollar amount to shoot for. But at the same time, you'll probably want to use that number and then challenge yourself to improve upon previous spending levels too, in order to free up more cash for other goals that you've got. That's the whole point of saving money at the grocery store, so you can take extra dollars that you were putting towards feeding your family and funnel them towards more exciting, more fun areas.
Yeah, even feeding your family in the future by investing those dollars.
Yeah.
But so maybe you're thinking, well, I have no clue how much I should be spending on groceries. I can see what I have spent. But if that is you, a decent rule of thumb is to not spend more than 10% of your take-home pay on groceries. So let's say you make around $100,000 a year. So after taxes and withholding, you're taking home a little less than $75,000, depending on your state. But meaning your monthly take-home pay is around $6,000. So that means it's a good goal to try and spend no more than $600 a month on groceries. If you are spending more than that, or you know, maybe you are spending a little more than you want to, then we would recommend to work on reducing that amount. Don't do it all at once, but look at doing that over like 2 or 3 months instead of just doing it instantaneously like you're flipping a light switch. Because again, we're trying to be realistic here, and we want you to implement changes that are going to actually stick. We don't want you to feel the sting of defeat yet again. So another way to help keep you on track then is to split up that monthly budget amount just into those equal installments for each trip. So again, if you have a $600 grocery budget per month, so let's say you hit up the store once a week, well, we're talking about $150. $150, like that is roughly what you should be spending each time. And so we're taking that larger amount, that $600, and we're breaking it down into smaller, more manageable amounts of money in particular that are anchored to time, that are anchored to each week.
Well, because I think for a lot of people, they might say $600, that's my grocery budget for the month. They go the very beginning of March, they drop $350 because they buy some stuff they wouldn't normally otherwise have gotten. And then they find themselves towards the end of the month like, holy crap, how am I going to keep this under wraps? But if you think about it as $150 per trip that you make, you're more likely to actually hit the goal that you set. You're more likely to keep your spending in check because you've brought it down to an even more bite-sized, more manageable spend amount, right?
That's right. Yeah, you're pacing yourself.
Yeah. Okay, and so I think meal planning is something else that needs to be mentioned. I think budgeting is massively helpful, and I think that rule of thumb is going to help a lot of folks make more sense of their grocery budget and at least kind of see, cool, what are we spending of our take-home pay? Oh, 15%? Okay, well, we can get it down into 10% through some of the tips and tricks that Matt and Joel talked about. But while we're discussing like a weekly strategy, it's a good idea to plan your meals in advance too. You know, pick a time each week where you're going to spend, I don't know, like 30 minutes or so thinking about the meals for the week for the family or for you as an individual and what they're going to be. You know, knowing what you're going to be eating helps you make a grocery list, and sticking to the list is one of the best ways to make sure you don't overdo it and spend too much at the store. So yeah, consider making extra too, I'd say, but only if you're actually going to eat it. Matt is the leftover king. I don't know.
I love the leftovers.
Anyone who loves leftovers more than Matt.
I don't know if I love them because I know they save me money. And so like when you have something that's associated with something else that you like, you like that thing.
Yeah. You like it even more that way.
Exactly. It's sort of like we're talking about cooking earlier. Like if you can trick yourself into doing something that will ultimately save you money, well, it's like win-win.
Yeah.
I don't know if I actually like leftovers because I've convinced myself that they taste better because I know that I'm saving myself money, or if actually the flavors meld together
and better after being in the fridge for a day or two.
There are certain things that, you know, where that's the case, obviously. Yeah. Not some things like french fries, but other things like a lasagna.
Oh, I leftover mean, french fries is just the worst.
It's the worst, yeah.
No. But I think like meal planning,
I still eat them though.
And planning for leftovers and then planning how to use and eat those leftovers is smart. And a lot of people will like make everything on a Sunday and then they'll put it in the freezer. They'll freeze breakfast, literally like breakfast burritos or something like that. Mm-hmm. Pull them out every single morning, heat them up, and then it's like, boom. I don't even have to think about it. I already made it. And I also know that I'm not going to be stopping to get fast food on the way to work because I plan my meals and I had it ready in advance. So I think meal planning makes a lot of sense, but you just also have to like have a plan to eat the stuff that you're making too, if you're making extra.
That's right, man. Yeah, so that's enough about planning, right? Let's get more tactical with it. Let's envision that you're there in the grocery store. What about sales? I was like you're about to say something.
Well, I was just thinking, you said envision you're in the grocery store, and I was like, what if there was like a metaverse app where you could put yourself in an Aldi? I mean, that sounds ideal.
I'd consider going to the metaverse for that.
I've not been interested in the metaverse until I just thought up that thought.
But for real, though, if you are at the grocery store and you see a sale, do you take advantage of that sale or not? Well, I like the idea of making a little bit of wiggle room for some incredibly discounted food within your budget. So, for instance, getting that pork shoulder when it's been marked down to $1 per pound, that is when you pounce.
Sounds like a recent example out of your life, Matt.
Something I did recently, bought two of those jokers, smoked them both. Even though I wasn't necessarily planning on buying one that day, the price necessitated it. But just make sure that you aren't using a big time sale, like a manager special, to justify a purchase that you shouldn't make.
Well, in this case, it sounds like the porkness, it forced your hand on this, right?
I had no choice.
Yeah.
No, like you definitely don't want to make a purchase that fits that doesn't fit within how it is that you approach your groceries, right? Like it needs to fit within your general grocery buying ethos.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people might walk through the grocery store and then they walk through the chip aisle and they're like, 30 cents off Doritos. Okay. I'll toss it in. And there's a lot of like fake sales that go on in a lot of retailers, right? And so it's just
depends if they're Cool Ranch or not. Was that Pete Holmes? His joke is like, oh yeah, that electric
the electric tingle. It's electric like tingle that sticking your tongue to a 9-volt battery.
It's so good.
Which is true.
How do you resist?
Cool Ranch Doritos are delightful, but they're also really expensive, and they're
terrible for you.
And they're terrible for you, and they're the kind of thing that's gonna bust your grocery budget. And if you like the 9-volt battery tingle of a Cool Ranch Dorito from time to time, put it on your list once a month or something like that. That's fine. Like you deserve to treat yourself every now and again. But I think a lot of people are prone to do it in the moment just because there's a minor discount or minor sale. But when you're talking like $1 a pound for pork shoulder, that's different. And that's a lot of meals from one buy right there.
Totally.
Even if it wasn't on the list, I think it makes sense to hop on it.
Well, sure. And that's a basic protein that you can then incorporate into other meals. And again, some folks don't cook this way. But if you know that you've got a couple containers of pulled pork in your fridge, the ability to then use that. Oh, all right, let's make some barbecue sandwiches. Oh, okay, let's make some fried rice. Oh,
Taco
okay.
Tuesday.
Let's take that meat and incorporate it into a pozole. That's literally something. These are all meals that our family made last week.
Okay.
And so when something like that comes along and it's got legs, right, that you can then apply to other meals, that's something you want to pounce on.
Yeah. Okay, so one other thing I think that can help when you are buying something like a pork shoulder, which you just because it's on discount, is if you have a deep freezer. And that's like one of the biggest problems when you're stocking up or something like that because of a sale is when groceries are perishable, that can make it more difficult to do that, right? So non-perishables, buying extra cans of something that you know you're going to use because it's on sale. Oh, hey, the soup is half price. Boom, let me get a couple extra of those. That's fine. But when you're talking about things that are perishable, it's harder to justify that, but I think a deep freezer can make that more justifiable because then you haven't wasted money, like completely wasted money. That's, by buying the thing and not using it.
Which would be the absolute worst. There's nothing that gets under my skin is like an ingredient that we haven't used, in particular like vegetables, right? Like you got that produce and sometimes it starts getting slimy and you have to freaking toss it. I hate that. There's nothing that strikes at my heart more than taking food that we've purchased with our own money and we just didn't have a chance, or we chose not to use that vegetable in something and I got to toss it in the trash.
Well, eating and not wasting what you buy is one of the biggest ways to save money too, because such a huge percentage of our grocery bill goes to stuff that we throw in the trash, which is a crying shame. So we do have to get better at that. But I think the freezer, a lot of us think that's where we just put the ice cream or something like that. But depending on the size of your family, how you shop, what you eat, and the amount of space in your house, you know, getting a deep freezer might pay off in the long run. For example, Matt, my father-in-law, he buys like half a cow at
Does
a time.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
And so it's chopped up into all these different ways, but the price per pound is, I want to say he said like $3 a pound, which is insane because that's what you pay just for ground beef, and he's getting steaks and roasts and stuff like that out of it. But he had to buy
a whole rack of ribeyes
as
well.
Sure. Yeah. But he had to buy a deep freeze in order to make that make sense. And so for some folks, spending money on a deep freeze can actually pay off in the long run.
Jerry, you're making a case for me wanting a deep freeze right now. But let's talk about coupons. And generally speaking, Joel, you and I, we're both in agreement that coupons are overrated.
Mm-hmm.
The typical family, they save somewhere between $5 to $9 a week using coupons. And depending on how much you're spending on groceries every week, this could be chump change, or it could actually be a meaningful amount of money. But just make sure that you're thinking about the overall ROI before you go coupon crazy, right? Like, it's possible to be penny wise and pound foolish here just by hunting and clipping actual physical coupons when the savings that they'll net you, they may not necessarily be worth the time. Couponing, it might make sense for some folks out there, but others should probably spend that time focused on more important aspects of their money. Some stores out there, they've got apps that make it easy. Certainly make sure that you're a part of their loyalty program. Give them that phone number if they've got that program, if they've got that as an option. And also check out the site flip.com. That's FLIPP.com. It's a site, man, I love aggregate sites that bring together all bits of information that you would normally have to kind of go scouring for. But they combine all the different circulars that the different grocery stores have. So you can see what is going to be marked down, what's going to be on clearance, what's going to be on sale.
It's easy to kind of plot your plan of attack for where you're going to go shopping that week based on sale flyers by looking at Flip as opposed to waiting for the Sunday actual print section to come out. Mm-hmm. Flip's really cool and it makes it easy. Well, and Matt, I'm with you. I'm against couponing as well. I use coupons when they're easy. And Kroger, when I go to Kroger for some of the things that I can't get at Aldi or Costco, I use Kroger coupons because the digital coupons are pretty simple and they send actual coupons and stuff that I typically buy directly to my house. It's literally based on things that I've bought in the past. And they say, here's 60% off a thing of spinach because you buy spinach here sometimes. So that kind of stuff is, I'll use those coupons when it's low-hanging fruit. But I'm not like searching the internet for coupons because I think for most people that's a waste of time.
And Kroger's, they've actually got a pretty decent app as well that you can keep on your phone.
Yeah. So I think it's helpful to have that app for the stores that you're most loyal to. I have the Lidl app on my phone as well because sometimes I get discounts there. And speaking of Lidl, I think where you shop is probably one of the biggest difference makers when it comes to butchering your grocery budget. And Lidl and Aldi, we talk about them all the time because they're two of the best nationwide discount grocery chains that you can shop at. Trader Joe's are a lovely, slightly more expensive alternative. But like, if you have one of those three close to you, you're going to save money by going there. And these stores, they don't even have to play the coupon game. They don't really get into it at all, largely because their prices are so incredibly low already. But just changing this one part of the grocery equation in your life, you could claw back a huge percentage of your grocery budget seemingly overnight. And even when you compare a list of basic items between Aldi and Walmart, which prides themselves on low prices, they're known for low prices. If you compare Walmart to Aldi, Aldi wins by a landslide.
Even still.
Yeah. Even still. Even though Walmart is cheaper than a lot of the alternatives, Aldi's cheaper than them. And it wouldn't be outrageous to see something like a 20% reduction in what you're spending each month just by doing this one thing. And if you're shopping at Whole Foods, you're going to see an even bigger discount in what you're spending if you move to Aldi.
That's right. But simultaneously, there might be some items that you can't get at Aldi that you would, that you might have to go to Walmart for. But you mentioned 20%. Dude, back when before the Aldi near us had opened up, we were doing like the majority of our grocery shopping at Kroger. And once we started shopping at Aldi, literally overnight, we saw a 30% reduction in our grocery budget.
That's insane.
And like, it literally felt like magic because we weren't even necessarily trying to reduce how much we were spending. We just switched where it was that we were shopping. We saw a massive decline.
That's like, it really is like the easiest thing to do. There's all these little ways that you can really eat around the edges.
It's the easy button.
But that's the easy button to save the biggest
amount.
It is.
But we were kind of talking about Walmart and how they certainly have more options than Aldi. The trade-offs of stores like Lidl, like Aldi, are that you're going to have fewer options. And so instead of there being like 82 ketchup bottles that you can pick from, you're going to only have like one, maybe two if you're lucky. And we actually kind of see this as a plus. But also your grocery trips are going to be shorter. Just because of the footprint of these stores are going to be smaller and you're not going to have to spend as much time comparing the unit prices between all those different varieties of this exact same thing. I mean, we get that this is not for everyone out there, but if you haven't tried some of the discount grocery stores like Aldi, like Lidl, and you are looking to trim your grocery budget, then you have got to at least give this one a shot.
Yeah, so not only are you going to save money at those discount grocers, but also you're going to spend less time, which sounds nice too.
I love it.
And plays out in reality, man. My trips to Lidl are quicker. Although Lidl
Aldi,
has
in Aldi is the
little carts for the kids, by the way. And so I did take a little longer.
Lidl's are bigger, dude. Lidl's are twice as... I bet on average, if there's any sort of research out there...
Still a third of the size of the Kroger.
Still much smaller than Kroger, way smaller than Costco. But, I mean, I used to pride myself in being able to literally get in and out of an Aldi with a thing of milk and eggs in like 90 seconds.
Yeah.
Because they're so quick at the register, and it's so easy to get back there to the coolers.
They really are. I will say the people that work at Aldi are incredible.
They know what I want.
They have fewer people
working
there.
Which is to get
out
of there as fast as possible.
But they pay them more, and they crush it. So, well, okay, so something else, though, on that front. Like, it's not just the major discounters that you can check out. There are also, like, smaller independent discount stores, and you can find one near you at a site like buysalvagefood.com. And, Matt, there's one 30 minutes from us. Mm-hmm. I haven't been there yet because it's 30 minutes from us. It's not 4 minutes away like the grocery store I typically go to. But it's one that I want to go to because they're selling kind of salvaged, dented, secondhand food items, but it's still good food, and they're selling it for a whole lot less. And yeah, so we'll put a link to that one in the show notes, but it's one that you can totally check out. If there's one within 5 or 10 minutes of you, it might save you a ton of money by going to one of these stores that's not, doesn't have a nationally recognized name, mm-hmm. but you can, you know, they've got great prices that are going to save you money. Misfit Market is kind of the modern version of these independent discount stores as well. That you would find on that Buy Salvage website. They've got lots of organic items as well. I just signed up. I'm going to give this one a chance. I've never given it a go yet, but like it's basically giving you access to nice foods at a discount that they will ship directly to your door.
Very cool. And if you are not interested in the mega discounters or in trying a new service like that, don't forget about one of the easiest ways to save at the grocery store, which is buying store brands. Name brand items are going to crush your grocery bill most of the time. Trader Joe's and Costco, they have some of the best store brands, in my opinion. I feel like Trader Joe's in particular, they've got certain items that have a cult-like following.
Oh, yeah.
Although, did we talk about the lead and cadmium and dark chocolate?
We haven't.
Some of the Trader Joe's dark chocolates are on that list of like high.
Well, it's a lot of the dark chocolates, right?
It is, but maybe we'll link to that story as well. But there are certainly some ones out there that are a little bit safer if you like to eat a little bit of dark chocolate every day. It's funny because you talk about how like there's certain things like dark chocolate that are good for your health. They got those flavonoids and all that kind of action going on, but you never want to overdo it in any one area before it like turns around and like bites you. You know?
By the way, flavonoids totally sounds like a word you just made up.
Maybe I did. I'm pretty sure that's a real word. But we're talking about name brands, and data from Consumer Reports, they say that store brands cost between 5 and 72% less than their name brand counterparts. And actually, when Consumer Reports, when they ran a taste test, they found that 76% of store brand products tasted just as good as the name brand. So we wanted to mention that because maybe you're being name brand loyal for no reason. And while we're talking about some of these different stores as well, I want to give Costco a little more love since, in particular, for our family, they're our latest store that is certainly getting more of our dollars. But the ability to buy bulk is huge. And when you're used to buying small packs of stuff at some stores, but then you can go to a store like Costco and buy a massive double or triple pack of something, there is serious savings involved there, whether it's chicken thighs or whether it's like a giant thing of rice or a giant mm-hmm. thing of oil. But what's key, and this kind of speaks to like the waste side of things, what's key is to, when you get home, to break those things down. And so if we're talking about chicken thighs, like literally take them out of the packaging and just go ahead and package those into like Ziploc bags of portion sizes that you know that you will typically cook with.
Yeah.
Same thing with like oil, because like at Costco, they got like that, I don't know, it's like a gallon and a half container thing of olive oil, and you think, how the heck am I supposed to cook with that? Well, you don't. You take that home and fill up your little small oil bottle that you keep next to your stove, and you're going to fry up some eggs. There are things like you buy bulk in order to save, but then you break it down in order to actually use those things and not let them go to waste.
Yep. No, I like that. All right, Matt, we've got more grocery store saving tips that we want to get to, including like apps that can help you save. We'll talk about that. And there are a couple others we'll get to as well. We'll get to those right after this. Kachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Kachava
really earns their 52,000 plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to Cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/howtomoney.
You probably think it's too soon to join AARP, right? Well, let's take a minute to talk about it. Where do you see yourself in 15 years? More specifically, your career, your health, your social life? What are you doing now to help you to get there? Well, there are tons of ways for you to start preparing today for your future with AARP.
What about that dream job you've dreamt about? Sign up for AARP reskilling courses to help make it a reality. How about that active lifestyle you've only spoken about from the couch? AARP has health tips and wellness tools to keep you moving for years to come. But none of these experiences are without making friends along the way. Connect with your community through AARP volunteer events.
So, it's safe to say, it's never too soon to join AARP. They're here to help your money, your health, and happiness live as long as you do. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/wisefriend.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, we are still talking about some of the different ways that you can butcher your grocery bill. Joel, do you think that folks are getting hungry as we're sitting here talking about all the different kind of
probably
things?
They probably want to taste your like pork empanadas or whatever it was that you were making.
Pozole, Mexican soup. But let's kind of tackle some of these more actionable, practical tips that we've got for folks in order to reduce their grocery bill. And one of those is to avoid processed foods. The old maxim of shopping around the periphery of the grocery store is pretty accurate, because that is where you're going to find fruits and veggies. That's where you're going to find the meat and the eggs, the milk, right? Like, what we're talking about here is real foods as opposed to potato chips, the cookies, candy, pre-prepared foods.
And are you saying those Totino's pizzas aren't good for me, Matt?
They don't count, man. those often aren't going to be as good for you, right? Or as filling. And so we want to encourage folks to eat real foods whenever you can. You are your own person, so you can eat whatever you want.
We're not your mom.
But by eating these whole real foods, it's going to be better for you. It's going to help your waistline. It'll help your like what you're spending on groceries as well. Not just processed foods, but the ability to avoid processed drinks as well. I think that's an area where a lot of folks can save, like juices and spending money on Coke.
Sunny D.
For one, they're empty calories, but two, like, man, these things are loaded with sugar,
yeah.
And you don't necessarily need to be spending your money on that. Again, you are an adult. You do what you want to do. And I know this is coming from the dude who likes, they always hear me talking about how my beer, I wish it had a little more sugar.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, I like things to be a little bit sweet, but I'm owning it, you know, like craft beer. It's my craft beer equivalent, all right? I'm willing to spend money that isn't necessarily helping my health because I really enjoy it. So if you really love Sunny D, Joel, you buy that Sunny D, but don't think you're necessarily buying groceries with it.
Yeah, those are the kind of expenditures, you're right, that are, it's you're getting calories, but you're not necessarily getting the good kind, getting the filling stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, on that note, like, should people buy organics? I think that's another question that people have, because organics are certainly more expensive, and different folks have different priorities on this front too, so we're not trying to be uber prescriptive here, but the price gap between organics and non It often depends on the specific item, right? Because organic eggs, they're not much more than regular ones at Costco. But organic milk, it feels like it's like twice as expensive, if not more.
It's a bit more.
So yeah, it depends on what your priorities are. And you might say, yeah, cool, I'm like me. I don't mind spending a dollar more for the organic eggs, but I'm not going to spend $6 more for the organic milk. And so, yeah, this is another example of how where you shop plays such a massive role in how much you spend, because Walmart is the largest organic retailer in existence, and their prices are going to be much more affordable than at Whole Foods, for example. But, you know, we can all make different trade-offs at different stages of our lives as we have different amounts of disposable income specifically to spend on food. And for some, you might prioritize cost over everything else. So you might say no to organic at every turn. But there are ways to buy affordable organic products, too. I think that deserves to be mentioned. And there are a lot of people who just prioritize that strongly for like everything they buy. And there are other people who say, ah, I'm going to pick and choose the organics I want to bring into my life. But I think it's possible to do the organic thing without completely breaking your budget.
That's right. Yeah. Costco, that's where you buy your organic toilet paper. Only the finest right. for your tush. Another tip is we would recommend for folks to use the right credit card. We've recently talked about this, but the American Express Blue Cash Preferred will snag you 6% cash back at the grocery store on up to $6,000 of expenses a year. And man, speaking of Aldi again, when they started taking credit cards a few years back, the choir of angels were singing in my head.
I still remember that day.
It was such a big stinking deal.
Because I was like, that's an extra 6% I'm saving on all groceries from here on out.
It was the only place I was using my stupid debit card every single
week. It was like literally the only place I used a debit card too.
I don't think I've pulled that thing out ever since then. But being able to shop with this card is going to mean that they're already low prices. If you use that card, they're going to get 6% better overnight, like instantly. But of course, only use this card or any credit card, like we discussed last week, if you can pay that bill off on time and in full every month. But if we're talking about easy ways to save more money on groceries, this is certainly one of them. And you can get the annual fee waived for the first year right now, in addition to that $250 sign-up bonus. We'll make sure to link to that card in the show notes for this episode.
For sure.
It's all one right. that both of us use weekly.
For sure. Yeah. And okay, so what about apps that help you save too? And we've talked about the actual proprietary apps that the grocery stores have themselves. Almost every grocery store has their own app, and you can download that and find ways to save there, which I think is good. When you buy into their ecosystem, they offer you extra perks. And that's great. You should totally do that. But there are other third-party apps that are worth considering too. Flash Food is a new one, at least one that I hadn't heard of until recently, that offers significant discounts, at least in some parts of the country, for buying items from grocery stores that are just about to expire. So that's kind of cool. You're kind of preventing something from going into the landfill, and you're getting a sweet discount at the same time. I like that one. I looked to see if it was available here near where we live, Matt. Sadly, no, but maybe soon, maybe soon. But Ibotta is probably one of the best known apps that will earn you cash back for taking a picture of your receipt after you check out. You got to jump through a couple of hoops, but these can be kind of like, you know, the coupons we talked about earlier. They might be easier than going out there and pecking and hunting for coupons to use at the grocery store, but they also might not be worth the hassle. But it's at least worth looking into. You know, some people swear by apps like Ibotta, and they say they save, they get tons of cash back just by kind of doing the shopping they normally do. But so much really comes down to you, how you shop, and how annoyed you get by these apps trying to having to constantly interact with them.
That's true. All right, let's get to the most dad-like advice that we can offer when it comes to saving more on groceries. And this advice is to eat what you've got. And yes, again,
I want a clean plate out there, folks.
Happy Plate Club. Do y'all ever do that? I know a lot of folks do the Happy Plate
sometimes,
Club.
Sometimes. But,
you know, definitely eat your leftovers, of course. But this also means that you should be cleaning out your pantry or your fridge or your freezer. Supercook, this is a cool site that can help you to create a recipe based on the items that you have on hand. Of course, if it's just cookies, right? Like if you just got Oreos and some Doritos and like a random chicken thigh, you're going to have a tough time.
That would be a really interesting meal though.
Most likely, hopefully.
Could you make like a crumble and bake it? Bake that chicken thigh in it?
Hopefully you're not down to the dregs to that point. But it's smart, I think, to make this a game like that, right? Because if you're aiming high in an attempt to keep your grocery budget low, well, trying to make meals out of what you've got on hand is a way to gamify things in order to stretch your budget. There's a lot of, oftentimes you'll see a different folks taking on the challenge of like just only eating out of your pantry or your cupboard, where you're only allowed to go to the grocery store for fresh veggies or milk and eggs, right? But of course, we do want you to eat healthy, balanced meals, but I think there's a way that we can also challenge ourselves to not buy more of the non-perishables that are already lining the shelves of our pantry.
All right. So another last suggestion would be just to eat less in general. And I think we get, especially when go out to eat, think about the portion sizes.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
When you go out to eat in a foreign country, you don't get portions that big. But for some reason here in the States, we just have just something enormous. And if it's on our plate, we just assume that's what we're supposed to eat. And so we do. And so a lot of us are just eating more than we actually should. And it's led to us becoming a pretty fat and overweight nation in reality. Yeah. The latest data reports that something like 42% of U.S. adults are considered to be medically obese.
Yeah, nearly half.
Which is tragic.
All adults.
Tragic, because not only is that expanding your food budget, it's just massively harmful to your health. And now we're like prescribing drugs to help cure obesity instead of making a national push towards changing habits, which would lead to healthier outcomes, I think. So it's just eating less in general and eating healthier whole foods, kind of like you talked about earlier, Matt, instead of eating a lot of the processed crap that we normally get in the center of the grocery store. That's going to make a big difference in how we feel and in how much we spend in money on food.
Totally. Yeah. And unfortunately, I think it's sort of become taboo to say that. And we will acknowledge that, like, genetics play a role, right? Like, not everybody can work out multiple times a week if they're looking to lose weight. But the ability to reduce how much we're consuming, like, that is something that is available to everybody.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's kind of crazy that that is not something that is talked about more. Not to mention, and this is our whole angle, it also saves you money.
Yeah.
And so it's
For some reason, it's become off limits, which I don't like, because it's kind of something we've been able to talk about openly for decades and decades and decades. And
hundreds and thousands of years.
Yeah. Right? And if you make it off limits to talk about, then people can't receive the help they need, I think.
Yeah. So bottom line, groceries are a big line item in all of our lives. In the past year, has certainly made shopping for food feel even worse because inflation, it's been a massive pain for everyone. Egg prices are actually coming down now, but they're still expensive. But the tactics that we mentioned today, they're not going to stop the macroeconomic environment, but it can help you to take some more control over the expenses in your own life. And, you know, when this is with food and cooking, when that's something that you do multiple times a day, you may as well get good at it.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about breathing earlier. It kind of makes me think about driving. Like, that's something that most people do. And there might be some folks who are better at it, who enjoy it more. There might be some folks who don't enjoy it as much. Or there might be some folks who are terrible at it. But just because if you were to say, though, well, I'm just not good at it, and you get in, like, a fender bender every single week, you don't just like throw in the towel and say, I'm just not good at driving. No, like, you take
start
steps.
Taking Ubers everywhere.
You take steps to make sure that you turn into a better driver, right? Like, whether that's paying closer attention to the road or driving slower or finding different times of the day to get to where you need to go. There are steps that you
take. Hiring a coach.
But in a similar way, I feel similarly about food. You may as well learn how to do it well. You may as well enjoy it. And obviously, along the way, by doing those things, you're going to find ways to make it more affordable, saving you money that you'll then be able to funnel into other areas of your life.
For sure. All right. I agree. And so hopefully all of our listeners are able to cut back in big ways at the grocery store. And, you know, if you've got other grocery shopping tips, we'd love to hear it. You can always reach out to us. We're at howtomoneypod@gmail.com. Matt, let's get back to the beer that we had on this episode. This one was called Darken. It's a barrel-aged sour brown ale from Upland Sour Ales in Bloomington, Indiana. What were your thoughts on this one, man?
Yeah, I see on the back of the bottle here, it says a blended work of art.
Uh-huh.
This was a really, really interesting beer. So it's a brown ale, but it was a sour brown. What tasted like was then married with the spices from a Belgian quad. Not the yeasts, right? So it doesn't have like that, the sweetness that you get with Belgian beers that you get from the yeast, but it totally had the like the Belgian spices going on. And so it had the darker sour funk, but then it had these notes of like Christmas. It's almost like when you get a song stuck in your head and you're just like, wait, why can't I get this? Like, what is it about this? I feel like that's what this sort of had going on with those Belgian spices.
Yes. Yeah. Well, on the back, it says that it was kind of trying to imitate the Oud Bruin style, which is like sour brown, right? Which is a traditionally Belgian style sour, and which I love that style beer so much.
Yeah, makes sense. But that being said, this is incredibly unique.
Yeah, this is an alternate take on that.
Very differently than a Oud Bruin.
Well, of course, Americans, you know, like to shake it up, do things differently. So this is an American take on a Belgian style beer. And I really liked it, but you're right. It definitely had some different vibes, some different spice action going on. But I mean, anytime someone says they're making an oud brewin, like, give it to me. I'm going to take it.
Anytime that there's somebody making a barrel-aged anything.
Yeah, the oak came through in a big way on this one, too, for sure. So, yeah. All right, that's going to do it for this episode, though, Matt. For folks who want links to some of the resources we mentioned a lot today, specific apps and sites where you can go to save money on groceries. Well, we'll list all of those up on our site at howtomoney.com.
And not only are the resources up there from this specific episode, but we've got a lot of new content up there on the site. We've got, obviously, the show notes, but just other articles, other helpful content, the credit card tool. There are a ton of fantastic resources up there for you. So we wanted to mention those as well. But Joel, that's going to be it for this episode. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.